In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
The conscience can be the subject of much debate. The conscience is the sense of moral goodness or the blameworthiness of our own conduct and our intentions. It has to do with that feeling of obligation to do what is right, that obligation to be a better person, to be a good person. Psychologists, philosophers, proponents of various religious ideologies all have their conflicting ideas as to the nature of the conscience, where it comes from, what it's about, how it works. So perhaps we need to turn to a popular example. In the film, Walt Disney film Pinocchio, we have this classic scene that takes place between Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket has to instruct this puppet who has now come to life in the ways of the world and instruct him that there are dangers out there in the world, there are temptations out there in the world, that often what is wrong is actually the right thing. And likewise, what seems to be the right thing may in fact be the wrong thing. And in summary, he tells him to always let your conscience be your guide. On one hand, we can hear that statement to let your conscience be your guide and recognize that that's reasonable advice. We certainly don't want to do things that are violating our conscience. So there's a right sense in which we need our conscience to be our guide and to follow our conscience. And yet, on the other hand, in the Christian realm, there can be a complete criticism of this approach. It's negatively called Jiminy Cricket spirituality. And Orthodox Christians, we also have a perspective on this. And what is our perspective on the conscience? I would suggest that in this regard, that it is like so many other things in life, that it is best to take the balanced, the moderate approach to the subject. And certainly that is what the biblical witness ascribes to and points in the direction of. In the epistle text today, the Apostle Paul clearly asserts the positive role of the conscience. However, we cannot be deceived into thinking that this passage of Scripture is the only statement that is made on the conscience in the New Testament or by the Apostle Paul himself. It takes just a little bit reading further into the New Testament to discover that the Apostle Paul also has other views of the conscience. In his pastoral letters to the young apostles Timothy and Titus, he suggests that the conscience can become corrupted, and the conscience, in fact, can be seared as with a hot iron, burned so it is beyond recognition and doesn't work any longer. So in the end, we must understand that the conscience can have both positive and a negative side that can play out in our lives. And in today's epistle text to the Romans, the apostle is pointing out the positive role of the conscience. He indicates that the possibility exists that the conscience can guide us to positive outcomes. He speaks of a reality that took place in his own day, witnessed in his own day. There were Gentiles who were completely ignorant of the Old Testament scriptures, who yet all the while were doing what the Old Testament scriptures essentially required. Now, he's not saying that necessarily they just stumbled onto the principle of the Sabbath and they were keeping the Sabbath and these kinds of things. He's speaking more in the realm of natural law, that they understood what moral goodness was all about and they were naturally inclined to these things. The principle of natural law was already written on their hearts, in their consciences. And thus, he concludes and says, very bold statement, that on the day of judgment, their conscience will either accuse them or excuse them. Well, as Orthodox Christians, we would certainly say that the conscience is the evidence of our Creator within us. The conscience, in a sense, is the fingerprint of God imprinted on our souls. The conscience is a part of what we would say is God's image within us. And thus, we affirm that the image of God is in all humanity, regardless of whether that humanity, that individual human being, acknowledges the image of God within them or not, whether they have personal faith, whether they have righteousness of their own, the image of God is still in all humanity. And so it is with the conscience, an extension of that reality of God's image within us. The conscience is in all humanity. It's all an equal part of that equation. And thus, within us, we have a sense of a natural inclination to pursue what is good and what is right. It's not the only inclination we have within us, but there within us, there is this conscience that is inclined towards what is good and right. We are naturally drawn back to God, our Creator. We find affinity with what is good and right because God is found there. In a sense, this is what the apostle is arguing in the epistle text today. And he's arguing this because he wants us to be certain to understand that God judges based upon not based upon ignorance, but upon knowledge and action. And in his day, there was quite a misconception. The Jewish believer had the misconception that they were superior simply because they grew up under the law. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They had heard the Old Testament scriptures, and that somehow put them on a higher plane than those who had not heard. The apostle is very clear to point out, it's not good enough to simply sit and listen to what the law says. You must likewise do the law. You have to practice the righteous requirements of the law. And if you do not do that, you're going to be judged according to that law that you have heard. And he goes on and he makes the point, and he's making the point very emphatic by emphasizing that the Gentiles themselves, some Gentiles are performing the righteous requirements of the law, showing the righteous requirements of the law are written on their hearts, and they've never heard the scriptures. So he's claiming, don't feel you're superior simply because you've heard the Old Testament scriptures. That's not enough. You have to act. You have to do what the scriptures require. Because even the Gentiles are doing what nature, the law of nature, has written on their hearts and what the law of the Old Testament essentially is requiring. So we recognize very clearly that the conscience can serve a very positive function in our lives if it is healthy, if it is functioning properly. It can be as an alarm to warn us if something is going wrong or if we're getting off course. The conscience can guide us to what is good and right. The conscience does play a positive role in the individual as they seek after truth, as they seek justice, as they seek what is good and what is right. However, as Orthodox Christians, we would never suggest that the conscience by itself is a sufficient guide, that we should put all of our hope and all of our faith in our own conscience, because we recognize there is another reality that is going on inside us. And the conscience, the positive aspects of the conscience, are not the only things that draw to us and call to us. And rest assured that the Apostle Paul has other things to say about the conscience. The witness of the Scripture also points out that the conscience can play a negative role when the conscience becomes corrupted, where it becomes unhealthy. We can be deceived. The conscience can become corrupted, even seared. And thus the conscience, though it can function like an alarm, it doesn't matter when you hear that alarm and you go insane, so to speak. The sound's going, you don't hear it anymore. It doesn't matter if the alarm is going when you're deaf. And that's what it's like when our conscience is not functioning in a healthy manner. It doesn't matter what is signaling to us. You know? The reality is we can have fire alarms, we can have smoke detectors, but if the building catches on fire and you just let that fire keep going, what happens to the fire alarm and the smoke detector? It too, itself, gets burned up in the process, right? It doesn't keep functioning, it gets burned in the fire. It's a warning system in the early stages of what's going on. And that's how we should understand our consciences, that our consciences are a warning system, but they can be perverted as we pursue the wrong course. They can become corrupted and give us the wrong signals. The Apostle Paul writes to Titus saying, to the pure all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving nothing is pure. Their minds and their consciences have become corrupted. They profess to know God, but they deny Him in their deeds. See, again, he returns to that same theme of deeds. Knowing God, and it's expressed through our deeds. It's not simply professing a knowledge that we speak about. I heard the law. I know God. It's more than words. It's also showing God, showing our knowledge of God by our deeds, or our not showing God that we know God by our lack of deeds. The conscience can become unreliable when it becomes corrupted. And likewise, he writes to Timothy and he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons, through the pretensions of liars whose consciences have become seared. So there's also this other reality, that the conscience can in fact become non-functioning as it is seared. There are plenty of examples of individuals down through history who have been sincerely deceived. In all sincerity, they follow what is a deceptive idea or practice. In the end, it's not our place to question the sincerity of an individual. Only God knows the sincerity of the individual, but it is our place to question doctrine and the practice, if it's really the right practice that we should follow, if it's the right doctrine that should be taught and believed. Plenty of individuals have been deceived by false doctrines, and all the while, because their conscience is off, because it has become diseased, so to speak, unhealthy, the conscience is affirming to them that they are on the right path, and they're not on the right path. They're deceived, following a false doctrine, in all sincerity, because their conscience is telling them they're on the right path. Likewise, many people have embraced wrong practices down through the centuries, but their consciences are telling them that this is the right thing to do. But their consciences are off and cannot be trusted solely by itself. So as Orthodox Christians, what do we affirm? We affirm that the conscience is a God-given facet of our humanity. We could even say that the Holy Spirit can work through our conscience. That when the conscience is healthy, it is a compass that points us Godward. We would clearly affirm that this is true. But we would also affirm that the conscience can become corrupted, diseased, unhealthy, even seared, and winding up in a state that it clearly deceives us and can easily lead us on the wrong course. And thus we affirm, what do we need to do? We need to have our consciences checked. We go to doctors for checkups. We go to dentists for checkups. How much more do we have to have our consciences go in for a checkup and to see if it's really on course or not? To see if the compass is really Godward or if it's pointing somewhere else? We cannot rely on our consciences alone. We need the help, the context of the church. We need to become familiar with the biblical standards by reading the scriptures and understanding what the scriptures teach us. And very clearly, when our conscience says go right and the scriptures say go left, you don't follow your conscience when it's that clear. The scriptures are telling us go to the left. We go to the left. We follow the scriptures. We need to open our hearts through confession to really see ourselves as we are, to understand what's going on in our motivations. We need to become a participant in Christ's life through regular communion. We need to question our motives and to seek out godly and wise counsel. We need to do these things, and we need to practice doing good. Not doing evil, but doing good to everyone. And that way, when our consciences perhaps begin to betray us and perhaps lead us on the wrong course, we have various points, various anchors that keep us from going off the precipice, going on the wrong path that leads to destruction. Because we have these places that are anchored in our souls and bring us back to the right place. See, there is a sense that much of the time we do have an inner sense of what is the right thing. It's often true that God is already speaking to our hearts and showing us the way we go, the way that we are to go, and we simply have to recognize that. And sometimes it takes time to recognize that. And I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to people who are confused about their future, and as they have a conversation with me, it doesn't seem to me that they're confused. It seems that God has already been speaking to them the clear path. The voice of the Lord has been there speaking, showing them the right path, and they just have to acknowledge what has been going on. There is a sense in which we have that inner sense of what is right in the depths of our hearts, that our consciences are in tune with the voice of the Good Shepherd, Christ our God. Remember, Christ said that his sheep will know his voice, and there's a sense that in our hearts and in our conscience, we begin to discern what is the voice of the Good Shepherd calling to us. Our consciences can be in tune with the Holy Spirit and led of the Holy Spirit. And thus, our consciences are serving a positive function, leading us on the right path. We need to learn to heed the voice of God that is as he operates through a healthy conscience. But we also must be aware that our consciences can become diseased and unhealthy. Our consciences can be deceived. We can very easily be deceived. We need to recognize that our consciences can be led astray and corrupted. And thus, in humility, we have to have our consciences checked. We have to live in accountability. We have to check our conscience on a regular basis. We need to immerse ourselves in the scriptures. We need to participate in the sacraments. We need to seek out godly counsel. We need to immerse ourselves in the kingdom of God. We seek to harm no one, but rather to do good to all. By so doing, we demonstrate before God and one another that the righteous requirements of the law are indeed finding their home in our own conscience. That the righteous requirements of the law are indeed becoming written on our own hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.